with something similar, a U-turn type scenario?
Well, I haven't dared to ask them that yet, but I don't know. I talk a lot also with foreign diplomats, and well, you get to hear different things. So I don't get the impression that there's a policy line on that. But if I look upon it from a military point of view, I think the Kazakh armed forces are about 40,000, and an additional 30,000 on border troops and internal troops and what have you. For such a large country, which is, well, by far not enough, I would say. But and if you look at the order of battle, most of the units are in the traditional place from a point of view of Soviet Union, placed in the south, southeast, towards China. So when this thing would happen, well, first they wouldn't make a stance against Russia, not at all. And then so the disposition is wrong, because there, by as far as I know, there are hardly any units in the northern part. And when there is talk about we should move units or whatever, then it's talk about the Caspian. I think it's mentioned in the military doctrine specifically that they call for reinforcement of the units in the Caspian. But there's no talk about the northern areas. So if there would be a war or whatever with Russia, they can forget about it. And I think they know. And I myself would be a little bit uncomfortable in asking them, well, what are you guys going to do if such does not happen? I can tell you that I've talked with policymakers at the departments, and on a one-on-one, so not in public, they do acknowledge that Russia is in breach with all kinds of international agreements in what they're doing in Ukraine. They don't deny that. On the other hand, and that will be one of my other points about discontinuities between security documents and the factual policy, when the whole thing started about Ukraine with the Crimea, they were kind of lenient towards Russia. Well, yes, these things have happened, and they sort of, well, I wouldn't say they encouraged it, but they sort of agreed with that. As not to offend Russia, apparently. And that is what I mean by the very cautious politics. I can notice that continuously, also at the university. They have to be very cautious. Because they know the threat, and the statements that are made from Moscow by Zhirinovsky, but also the remarks by Putin and others. So they are, I would say they're in a certain status of self-censorship as to avoid problems. So to that extent you might even say that Russia does not need to invade into northern Kazakhstan, because already because of his show of force elsewhere in Ukraine, or maybe earlier in Georgia, the point has made clear to what extent the sovereignty of Kazakhstan goes, that there are certain limits. Even though Nazarbayev has said, if my sovereignty is threatened, I will withdraw from the Eurasian Union. But, yeah, so it's difficult. And I can understand that from their point of view, and that they don't want to say too much about that. But none of the diplomats get the idea that there is a sort of policy line and a contingency plan. Or at least they don't tell us.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
And I know I came in a little bit late, but I personally, I obviously it's something to be considered, but I don't think there's a huge security risk on the northern side. But where do you feel their largest security risk is along their border areas? I mean, is it from the south? Is it from, I mean, Where would they be most threatened?
Yeah. I think as you can see it in the security documents, Afghanistan is a big concern. Mm-hmm. And then we're talking about they've also had consultations with China, because they say the Uyghurs, or whatever it's called, have, which you also have in Kazakhstan, that creates terrorist groupings. They might be aligned to Taliban or whatsoever. I'm not a specialist on that. And so this is where they see a threat from, so the terrorism, of course, in combination with narcotics. But now, and it was already asked, lately, the last couple of weeks, I see huge concern on Islamic State. More and more statements made in, well, that is the formal Kazakh Tengri News press agency, that they are very worried and they are going to take measures. And I also see this in their consultations with the Commonwealth of Independent States and the Security Council secretaries. So all of them are very worried. Because what we are facing, I don't know about the US, but I knew about Europe, all these jihadi people coming back and starting their own little game, or simply attacking people. That's what Kazakhstan is also afraid of.
If kind of a brief follow-up on that. And as a result of that, and even though they mentioned energy and infrastructure specifically in their policy,
yeah.
What kind of threat do you think from extremist groups like that is there a threat posed on their infrastructure, their pipelines, and what steps are they taking to to protect those?
Well, traditionally, and we're talking mainly about the Caspian then, the threat would be, for instance, a conflict between Azerbaijan and Iran, which has been close to in the past. On the other hand, I've seen that the CSTO has been conducting exercises on countering terrorist attacks. So they are aware of that. But other than that, you don't see that specifically in the security documents. But I would imagine that, well, energy is of course very important also for the national income. So that would be a great concern. But as far as I read it now in the security documents, it's more, let's say, a war between different littoral states in the Caspian. But I think that whole concept is going to change with Islamic State.
May I participate? Yeah. I think there are different things. The first one is that the threat coming from the south is something that you see everywhere, but it seems to be mostly on the paper. I mean, how Afghanistan could threat... I mean, something coming from Afghanistan could threat Kazakhstan. That seems difficult. So what does that mean? That means from the south, that means Kyrgyzstan collapsing, okay, Fergana Valley collapsing, tensions with Uzbekistan or between Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan. Well, that would be a problem for Kazakhstan at its border, but then the country is strong enough to kind of secure its southern border. I mean, it's not good to have a to have a neighbor that is collapsing, but you can deal with that. The real issue, I think, on the Kazakh territory, and which they tend to underestimate, is what is going on in the western part of the their region, because that's where you have the radicalization of young people, so where it's the most kind of internationalized Islamism coming on, with social inequality and so on. You have a Caspian oil field, so big energy issue. It's foreign investor, it's US firm or other foreign firms, and it's close to Russia, and Russia has the Orenburg refinery and several other things in the region. So if suddenly you have something that there, like for example Islamic groups attacking Tengri oil field or something like that, and then suddenly Russia saying, well guys, if you cannot secure your own things and so on, it's so close to my own interest and so on, I will have to intervene. So the problem for Kazakhstan is mostly it's a combination of suddenly several problems that could emerge that would be both domestic and international, I mean, and foreign. And on that, I think the documents are missing. They tend to be very classic on there, all the threats coming from the south. But they missed one of the points, which is probably the combination of internal and external issues. And if there is a region that is fragile, that the western part of Kazakhstan, the Caspian littoral.
Yeah. Well, they give a lot of attention to the Caspian region. They do. And energy security. Elsewhere, you see mentioned that they are worried about, in the future, about, they say, okay, well, we have a low unemployment rate, as this especially comes from the strategy 2050, of course, But did this might change. And also the law on national security, I would say that is the basic, because this is the only document which looks further ahead. What if the population goes down? What does it have for consequences for the labor potential and all that? Mm. What about if the differences in income become larger, will we have social unrest then? Although we now have a low unemployment rate, that could be the case. So, but then they don't explicitly mention the West. No. What I always hear, but I'm new in town, is that if you talk about more radicalized Islam people, they're in the South. But that's what I hear.
Yeah, but that's the usual narrative from Kazakhstan, to say that problems are coming from Uzbeks because Uzbeks are the most radicalized. But that's not true. That's not because they are conflating the fact that people are practicing Islam with the fact that you have group radicalizing and moving to violence, which is two totally different strategies. And that's not a surprise that the main bombing and terrorist attack they had, they were not in the South. They were all in the Western region. So I think...
Yeah, but it's a couple of years ago when they had this attack.
Radicalization is not going among the Uzbek minority. It's going among the ethnic Kazakhs from Western regions who are... kind of radical. Well, I mean, let's continue.
Okay, well, it's new for me, but I'm always interested. And of course, you would never read this in a security document,
exactly.
Would you? No. Okay. Now, the conclusions. So, of the comparison between the theory and the practice. And I've put it in the schedule, the usual schedule of national interests, threats, and assuring policy. Okay, what I've done is, but actually I've told them already, most of them. I've put in red, which are the major discontinuities between theory, security documents, and the actual policy. Now, and I would see the majority when it comes to the traditional approach of a country having an independent policy, sovereign rights, and all that. Then I see a discontinuity when it comes to all these connections with Russia, with this Friendship and Neighbourly Treaty, with the Eurasian Union. I see breaches in the sovereign rights of Kazakhstan. The aspect of a common foreign policy. Yeah, it's a strange thing. Why would you put that in a bilateral treaty? This Russian media. Of course, now they will probably spread around the good news from Moscow about Ukraine. But if they want to do a bad thing, they could spread around, let's say, what they talk about in the security documents, manipulation of information that the Kazakh authorities are doing something which they don't like. And of course, these threatening remarks by Russian politicians such as Zhirinovsky. And then the other aspect is the deepening economic ties with Russia through the Eurasian Union, from which we can already see that it is not beneficial for Kazakhstan. All the sanctions between the West and Russia will affect Kazakh policies and Kazakh the economy of Kazakhstan. Let me see if I've got this here. Oh yeah. Okay. Secondly, Kazakh's nuclear security policy, which is especially for its international reputation very important. In this, they criticize the nuclear powers, the US and Russia, for not sufficiently protecting those countries that have given up their nuclear arms, specifically Kazakhstan, Ukraine. However, if you look at spring of this year, you see that Kazakhstan, well, didn't do much of criticizing Russia for the activities of Russia on the Crimea and eastern Ukraine. And thus, in this way, Russia violated, among many other agreements, this nuclear agreement with Ukraine, in which it gave up its nuclear arms. Russia would guarantee the borders of Ukraine. And then, to that extent, you don't hear any response from Kazakhstan. So if they are criticizing the nuclear powers. Well, certainly in the case of Ukraine, this agreement has been infringed. Secondly, Kazakhstan closely cooperates with Iran. It says so because they say, well, as long as we talk, we will have Iran into the talks about giving up nuclear arms or not starting with nuclear arms and having, you know, restrictions. But Iran has frequently violated international control of its nuclear energy facilities. And Kazakhstan is very much in favor of nuclear disarmament and further proliferation, against further proliferation of nuclear arms. So you could say, well, is the policy consistent of Kazakhstan when you are, for good reasons, cooperating with Iran, which is considered by many countries, especially in the West, as a danger for nuclear, gaining nuclear arms? So those are the aspects of national interests which I think policy and documents are not in line with each other. Then, when it comes to threats, well, the usual threats in this area are mentioned: terrorism, extremism, separatism, according to the SEO, drugs trafficking. Okay, so that's congruent. Now, and now we get this Islamic State. And it's the same approach as we see here in the West. They talk now about 300 people from Kazakhstan specifically that have been recruited, and they also claim that a number of them have already gone back, and the fear is that they would create certain terrorist groups who would also be aligned with Taliban. So here you see the connection with Afghanistan. I don't know if this is possible, if these are the same groupings. I'm not a specialist in that field, but this is what I see mentioned in the public statements. And they are now talking with other former Soviet republics to have legislation, as we've seen in the West. For instance, Britain has done this legislation already, that they cannot return to Britain, that the passports are taken in, and all that. So, but they're very worried about that. And of course, you could say, well, this is not concurrent with the security documents. Yes, it's not, but because the security documents are a little bit older, even the newest one. So I'm sure that in the new editions of the security documents, since basically we all agree that Islamic State is a problem which is going to last a bit longer, that it will probably be mentioned as an extension to the usual threat of extremism and terrorism. And then the aspect of ensuring national security, well, we talked about that already. Interestingly, China is in this Kashagan oil field. And that's also interesting from a point of view, they have invited China, of course, because the Russians are there very important, to counterbalance the Russians. So very smart, I would say. But they are worried about, well, that the whole situation is still unresolved, the borders, and that might create problems. A lot of attention is made in the security documents about energy independence, blah, 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 sustainable development. But if you then look upon certain aspects of the Eurasian Union Treaty, they specifically mention that all the energy flows have to go through Russia. And for instance, it has already been stated by the Kazakh government that they are not allowed to deliver gas to Ukraine because this is countering with Eurasian Union Treaty. So although Kazakhstan claims, and Nazarbayev, that we are only talking about economic policy here, you can see that there's also a political aspect, and that certainly the Eurasian Union Treaty will limit the sovereignty of Kazakhstan in its energy policy. We can already see that. So that's another line in which I think that the policy is countering the security documents. Now, then I was also going to do a little bit of a statement about Kazakhstan as a vanguard of East-West cooperation, and that has to deal with especially Afghanistan. I already mentioned that although there's a preference for the East, that Kazakhstan also has very good relations with the West. With Moscow, they talk on the CSTO and SEO, but also they talk with Washington and Brussels, NATO and EU. So therefore, Kazakhstan has a good position to foster cooperation, because as a result of Ukraine, all the cooperation between NATO and Russia in the NATO-Russia Council has been stopped. The different aspects we had, well, the northern distribution route is still used as far as I know, but the deliverance of helicopters and the training of counter-narcotic officers, those aspects have been stopped. And since last year, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Kazakhstan made a statement about Kazakhstan calling for NATO SEO cooperation, they, in my idea, could have a role as intermediary between Russia and the West in dealing on Afghanistan for the future. And if they would do so, if they would, well, and I would specifically say there should be cooperation between NATO, EU on one side and CSTO and SEO on the other side, although especially the US is against that. But I think the problems of Afghanistan, as we will see them, will make this necessary. And to that extent, Kazakhstan might have a specific role. And in due course, that could also be beneficial for the mistrust between Russia and the West as it is. Though it, of course, will not solve the problem of Ukraine. But at least we could cooperate on those issues which have a more global depth in security. So, my assessment, the inconsistencies between the policy and the security documents, so the theory and practice, are especially found in the ties between Kazakhstan and Russia, and on some nuclear issues, Iran. But overall, the theory and practice are in agreement. And to that extent, because this is of course not mathematics where in which you can measure things, but I would say that overall there is a consistency between policy theory and practice, and therefore Kazakhstan's security policy is effective and to the benefit of its international prestige, which is one of its national objectives. That's my whole story.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And so maybe we are short on time, but let's have some question and some discussion. Do we have some?
I have a question about human rights and surveillance technology. Did you glean anything from these security documents regarding that?
Human rights are mentioned a number of times, but that might be a sort of obligatory. But they are mentioned, of course, in the Kazakhstan 2050 strategy, but also in the law on national security, that they should be protected. But that's basically all.
There's no mention of surveillance technologies.
No. Mm-hmm. Sebastian?
Yes, now that I have all your presentation, I would maybe like to come back to your first part, actually. I have two short questions. The first one is that, well, in the different points you mentioned related to national security, electricity, security, and food security do not seem to be mentioned. Whereas, I mean, although I agree that the situation in Kazakhstan is much better than in other Central Asian countries, some regions in Kazakhstan are still really facing these issues.
Yeah.
So does Kazakhstan consider that these issues are solved, or is that included or addressed in the public security or the well-being category you were mentioning? Another question.
Well, let me first answer it, otherwise
okay,
I might forget. You mentioned specifically food security
and electricity security, because
food security is mentioned. Well, I think Nazarbayev was recently in, I think it was an SEO meeting. Yeah, at the annual SEO meeting, he specifically addressed those specific Central Asian aspects. I can't recall if he also mentioned electricity, but he did mention food and border questions and water. He did specifically address them, that these aspects should be solved.
Okay.
electricity, I don't know, but he could have mentioned that as well, because he was very specific on what we see as the normal problems within Central Asia.
And another short question is that among the threats, the issue of water is addressed when we talk about Uzbekistan. But when it comes to China, it doesn't seem to be addressed, whereas this really remains the solid issue, I mean, the bone of contention between China and Kazakhstan. So is that explicitly mentioned somewhere in all the documents you have studied?
No.
No, okay.
No, but... as I already said, they want to be friends with everybody. That's basically.
Yeah, sure. But this is definitely, I mean, the bone of contention with China. They've been trying to talk with China. China is really refusing to negotiate, or when it negotiates, I mean, so far we don't have a real result. There's water sharing. So I was wondering. If
but who talked with China about it?
Sorry?
Who talked with
Kazakhstan?
Yes.
No, I haven't seen that mentioned. No. No, they only talk about economic cooperation, energy, military cooperation, and the terrorist threat with the Uyghurs, and so that I've seen specific mentioning of that. But of course, it might have been mentioned, but I haven't seen it. I mean, you never know what comes out, of course, in public. Yeah. But again, you can see with in general with all countries, they are not very specific in as Russia is in its documents. Any more questions, Sebastian?
No. Today the House passed 111 to 10 or something like that. The bill that basically, I don't know the official name of it, but the Russian Aggression Act. How obviously it needs to go to the Senate and then enact it, but what do you see that coming into play at all at some point as far as Kazakhstan's security implementation of their policies, and how will that impact them, their relationship with Russia or with NATO or the US?
No, I would think that they continue their line as it is. To try to keep friends with everybody, not being specific. Of course, I'd be highly interested in what is mentioned in this secret national security strategy, but no, I don't think they're very cautious. So they don't want to offend the Russians, nor do they want to offend the West. No questions?
Last one, kind of going back to the media. I mean, you mentioned that two-thirds of the channels are in Russian and kind of subsidized by the Kremlin.
Yeah.
Is there any movement towards kind of ridding of that influence and kind of establishing like Kazakh media outlets that are more dominant, kind of getting... I know they don't want to make the Russians upset, but like, is there any kind of movement toward getting away from like the Russian influence, especially in the media? Or... is just going to kind of stay satisfied.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, but again, well, this was explicitly mentioned at Tengri News, which is their own national press agency. So, and of course, when they mention something, it's not for nothing. It's not like here we launch something in the media. So, you would expect that it would end up with the politicians as well, as was with the concern of this common foreign policy with Russia. So apparently it is an issue already, but I haven't seen anything about legislation. Well, it's of course difficult to have legislation against it, because then Russia would feel offended again. It's a sort of, they're hostage in itself.
Well, if I may add on this media issue, as they cannot officially forbid media, Russian media, Russian TV broadcasting in Kazakhstan, the only way for them to compete is to be good and to offer better TV channel and better quality of information. And then you have all the issue of human capital. I mean, you need to have good journalists and good people trained to offer something that is more competitive than Russian TV, which they don't have, or that will take time for them to create. And then they often tend to conflate Russian language and Kazakh language issue with the issue of things produced in Russia and things produced in Kazakhstan. So they try to develop Kazakh speaking media world, but that doesn't mean that because it's Kazakh, it's not taking information from the Russian side. So it's not really creating a specific narrative just because the language is different. So that's another issue they have. And if they want to have journalists trained to offer a counter narrative to the Russian media world, that means they have to train them in the West. But at the same time, they don't want their media people to be too much Western oriented. So they are in the middle of the crossroad because they themselves don't want also. I mean, their room of maneuver is limited.
It's the internet access, so they're able. I don't know what the penetration of the internet and ICT is there, but. Once you do have that, you're pretty open to access whatever you want, correct?
Yeah. Well, I have the impression, well, of course, my knowledge is limited, but with our students, we went to a little village to see how the local things are arranged on the local level, the one policeman, which we haven't seen, and the local post office, and the one factory they have, and the municipality, all in one building, so you get a private public enterprise. And one of the first things the mayor said, he started to talk about the internet access. So there was internet access, slowly, but and this was, you know, a very little village of 1,000 people, 100 kilometers from Astana. So apparently, well, we discussed that earlier already. In Kazakhstan, it's the same as here. All the young boys and girls walk around with the iPads and the iPhones and what have you. So apparently there must be internet access, because otherwise why do you have these things?
Yeah, so I was in Uzbekistan last year, and everyone had access to, they could access US sites if they wanted to, or news, or pretty openly.
Well, and I have to say that our students know very well what's going on. But of course, I wouldn't say they are elite. Well, elite not, these are not the kids of the party, you know. They are selected because they are good, but they come from anywhere in Kazakhstan, but they know quite well what's going on in politics. Yeah. So if you want to have the information and you're clever, you will get it.
You can get it.
Yeah.
Well, on that optimistic note, I propose we conclude, and please join me in thanking our speaker for today.
It was a pleasure.
That's what the